The secret of leadership is simple. Do what you believe in, paint a picture of the future, go there. People will follow. Seth Godin.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hi, everyone. I'm Samantha Lee Wright. I'm a mother of two. I'm terrible at crafts, and I love bacon. And I'm your host here on the Essential Oil Revolution podcast. With over 120 episodes to date, this is the place to be to learn all about essential oils, health, and wellness. But today is a very special day. Today, we depart from our usual deep dive into the world of how to use essential oils, and instead, we're airing a very special episode from our other podcast, which you might not know about yet. It's called Revolution Oils Business Coaching, and you can find it wherever you get your podcast. So today, we're going to take a journey down Momtrepreneur Lane with our very special guest, Lindsay Teague Moreno. If you run your own business, are thinking of starting your own business, or just enjoy listening to kick-ass women talk about how to become successful in business, then you are in for a treat. Today, you'll hear about how to become an influencer on social media, how to grow a community online, and how to add value to other people's lives in a way that's authentic and truthful to yourself.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes if you would be so kind. Here's our crossover episode from the Revolution Oils Business Coaching Podcast with special guest, Lindsay Teague Moreno. Hey everyone, I'm here with none other than the amazing Lindsay Teague Moreno, a woman who I feel needs no introduction, but here it is anyway. Lindsay Teague Moreno is one of the most intelligent, authentic, and fierce entrepreneurs I know. She achieved the highest rank in Young Living, Royal Crown Diamond, in an astonishing 15 months, and she has not stopped reaching for higher goals since. She's the creator of The Lemon Droppers and the author of the book Getting Noticed. She happens to also be a lover of karaoke and wine, which I recently learned, which happened to be two of my favorite things on earth. So she's a woman after my own heart. A very big welcome, Lindsay Teague Moreno.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I have to ask before we dive in, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh my gosh, it's got to be anything Bonnie Raitt.
Nice.
We have the same low register voice, so I can pretty much sing anything that she's, and I know all the words, so I can just kind of pick any one of those. It's probably my favorite.
Perfect. I love it. Well, let's dive in and let's just go back to the beginning of where this journey started for you. When did you first start your Young Living business?
It was 2013. I was living in Seattle. I had a 3-year-old and two 3-year-olds and a 1-year-old at home at the time. And I was introduced to the product, fell in love with it really quick. As soon as I ordered it, I knew that this would be something that I always used, but I was super anti the business thing. As soon as I got talked to about the business, I was actually disappointed that Young Living was a MLM company. I didn't know that when I bought the product. Probably should have done some research, but that's just not in my personality. So
I guess it's a good thing you didn't, right?
Yes, it is. Actually, it is probably. I jumped in, bought the product, loved it, was super anti-business. And then, you know, it just kind of followed me. All I did was really just talk about the product that I was using because I loved it and because that's what I do. I talk about the things that I love, whether I get paid for it or not. That's just part of my brand, and it's who I was. I wasn't, didn't like have necessarily a brand at that time. I had about 300 followers on Instagram, and that was where the first place I posted. And it was just really for my friends who had little kids. And I was like, hey, you guys got to try this peace and calming out. And I had people come to me for the product. And I was like, you know, I don't know, here it's a referral business. Here's my number. You can certainly get a kit with my number and then we can talk about it. I don't really know how to tell you how to use it yet. And to be honest, I'm not your essential oil expert. I like it. I'm a user of the product. I know a lot more now than I did before, but I'm not what you would call, you know, the walking essential oil encyclopedia. Like that's just not what I do, but I still look a lot of things up and still use them. And so that's kind of where my business started. People started coming to me and they would ask, are you doing this as a business? And I said, no. Here's my number. And I got an accidental paycheck. First one is about $347, I want to think, somewhere around there. And at the time, we were doing the Dave Ramsey envelopes. And it was like a huge help. You know, I didn't have to pull out of our other envelopes to buy shoes or whatever it
right,
is that I
right.
purchased at that time. It was probably camera equipment, to be honest with you. And then so I just continued to do that where I just really told my story and talked about what I was using. And as people asked me for information, I just gave them my link, you know, like I'm not an expert, but here's my link, grab a starter kit. Right. And the second paycheck I got the second month was 780 something. And then on the 25th of March, I was sleeping, woke up in a dead, like I was just wide awake at, in the middle of the night. And I had this idea to run it as a business. If I can do this much money, if I can make over $1,000 in a couple of months, not trying, what can I do if I do try? And can this be the answer to the issues that we've got, the financial issues that we've got, to the issue of my husband going to work every single day at this college and leaving all of his like emotions and all of his frustrations there, right? And he would come home and he would just be dead. All of his energy went into his job, which I love about him, but he would come home and have nothing left for us. And I had a mother that died of a heart attack induced by stress. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to do that again. So I wanted to bring him home as soon as possible. And I felt like at that moment, the moment I woke up, I had the idea of, hey, let's just go all in on this thing. This is what it could look like. And I created a marketing piece, my very first marketing piece ever, that I felt like would appeal to who I was, which was young moms with little kids at home and not a lot of time.
This first piece of marketing content that you created, can you tell us a little bit more about that? Was it specifically for moms, you know, getting them to try to use the oils, or were you just going for the business, you know, side and trying to get moms to see that vision? How did you get those stay-at-home moms to see that vision?
So I basically tried to, in order to get moms, my idea is that it needs to be as simple as possible. And so everything that I did was through this lens of how can I take all of this information that's stupid hard to understand and so much superfluous information. Like I don't need to know about sesquiterpenes. Okay. I'm a mom. I don't need to know about that. I feel like my biggest competition is not another person selling oils. My biggest competition is Target or Walgreens or the grocery store, whatever is faster to get an end to whatever is going on, right? And so for me, I just needed to simplify everything. So every marketing piece that I made was not to sell the product necessarily. It was to make it easier to use the product that we have, which we know is good for our kids, which we know is great for our family, but it's hard to understand. There's a learning curve to it. So everything I made was through the lens of how can I make this so easy for people that they can't not buy the product? And that's exactly what happened.
Yes. And then in an incredible 15 months, it's just astounding. You reached the highest level in Young Living, which paints a picture for people. What did that do for you? What did that do for other people? And in a nutshell, if you can even do that, how on earth did that happen?
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously the money changes your life, right? That's it. Like, I love this product. I would be talking about it anyway, even if I didn't make any money from it. But when I knew that I could, I was going to run it like a business. So I think the very first thing that I did when I decided, all right, this is going to be a business, was I actually created a business out of it. And then what I did was really work every single day from the day I started to work myself out of a job. So every day I would spend my time, more time educating on how to run a business than I did on how to use the product. That part would come easily. All I have to do is hand them some resources. They can do their own education, right? That's on them. Everyone needs to take charge of their own education. I don't take charge of anyone's education. But what I can do is take charge of making sure I'm making available information about how to run a business. Because what I find is that stay-at-home moms don't generally have that, right? They're not all out there running businesses. They don't all have tons of experience. They don't all have degrees in business. Those are the things that we live up to our husbands because we are at home with our kids, having conversations with two-year-olds every day. And so what I did was I really, really tried to tell them, look, I have owned my own business before. I have worked for a Fortune 1000 company before. I have been a manager before. I have a degree. I have a master's degree in psychology about how people work together. So let me take the things that I've learned and give them to you. And people just soaked it up like sponges. I teach people how to use social media to their advantage and how to talk to people online so that people will listen, how to close a sale. And those things helped us pass down what I knew and what other people knew and what they brought to the table, because I don't have all the skills, taking what other people knew and the skills they bring to the table and pass it down the line so that we all learn. And at times, everybody below me is across team lines, and we kind of worked that way, and it just grew really, really fast. I just saw people starting to take little pieces of what we did and use this, what I call the unsales tactic, to get people to come to you rather than chasing them. And I think it's so radically different than what most MLM people do. And it sounds so counterintuitive, but because we had a bunch of people that weren't MLM people, it wasn't having to teach new old dogs new tricks, right? I just taught them business. This is just how you talk to customers, whether you're an MLM or you're not. This is how you talk online. And doing that created this like really this spiral of amazingness. And it just, as I ranked up, other people ranked up, and it created this really great situation where we just were all going like linked arms and we all grew together, and it felt so good. And it changed our lives. It changed a ton of people's lives. It changed my life for sure. I'm indebted to the people that work with me as a lemon dropper, under me, around me, helped me, supported what we were doing, because it was different and it's hard to love things that are different. And there were a lot of people that kind of stepped out and did that. And that is the reason that we are where we're at.
Right. Well, and anytime you try something different or you want to shake up the status quo a little bit, you're always going to get pushback, you know? And I think that's an important lesson for people to understand, that you can't get scared. You know, if you want to go try something different, try something new, make it your own, you got to just stick with it and do it 100%, you know, and there will be pushback. You have to know that.
Yeah. That was probably the toughest part about my business growth, was how much pushback that I got and didn't expect. I didn't know, right? I'm not an MLM person, so I didn't know. What I did was observed what was happening, realizing it wasn't fast enough for me, and figured I would just do it differently, because that's just what I do. I just look for ways that I can do things a little bit differently so that you can stand out. It's the only way that you can make something crazy successful, is not by doing something everybody else has done. And I just saw the same patterns over and over and over again. And I thought, this is just not the right way.
Can you be like a little more specific about that?
Sure. Like when I first started my business, I started researching a ton on how much are these people making? How long is it taking them to get there? What are they doing every single day? How are they talking to their people? How are they talking to customers? How are they presenting their product? And I found that it was a bunch of people that were talking online. If they were using social media, they weren't using it so that they could tell their story. Instead, they were just shoving the product down people's throats over and over and over again, hoping this is going to be the one thing that somebody sees, rather than being strategic about trying to get them to like you first. And then they fall in love with the product, because really what we're selling here is ourselves. It's not the product. They will buy you before they buy that kit, I promise. So I saw a bunch of that. I saw a bunch of people being super secretive about how much money they were making and how long it took them, that it was just a big secret. And I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to do that. And I was super honest and open with my people and everybody about, this is how much I worked, this is how many people came, and this is how much money I made, up to 6 figures a month. I was super honest with people about, and after 6 figures, I mean, there's nothing to be gained by knowing how much more after 6 figures. So I figured up to 6 figures, I was super honest about how much I made, how much OGB did we have? You just name it. How many people did we have on our team? And so I was honest and open about that, which I think gave people an understanding that this actually can happen, because I'm not some girl at the top that they don't know, right? I'm just started from the bottom, just like they did. And they were there to see it. I felt like, I don't believe that my rank defines who I am. So I don't put it everywhere. Like on my Instagram, it's not even anywhere. And so I don't walk around and tell people my rank, because to someone that's not doing MLM, they don't understand that. It means nothing to them. All it does is mean weird. So I really avoid all things that are typical MLM and try to do it really different, so that it would be attractive to people that would normally say, I don't want to get involved in that.
Absolutely. Well, Lindsay, if I'm picking up right, social media was a huge part of your success. So, and that's not how everyone builds their business. It's not how everyone has to build their business, but it's a huge opportunity out there that's available for all, right? It's free. It's learnable for anyone. You know, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you don't like tech. You can learn this stuff. So I know that you are a great teacher of how to use social media, how to get noticed. Do you want to share with us some of your best tips for that?
Yeah, you could definitely read Getting Noticed. It's a short book. It'll take you about 3 hours probably to get through the whole thing. It's meant to be short, pack a punch. I kind of get in, say what you need to say, and get out. So if you really want to know, definitely read that book. But I think the biggest thing, that my biggest platform that I stand on as far as teaching people how to do social media, is to tell them that they are enough of what people need, just as they are. It doesn't mean they don't need new education. It doesn't mean that they don't need new skills. Those things will all come, but who they are on the inside is enough. And so many times I think people think they have to become a different person in order to attract people, which is why I think we have so many people that are beating down doors of other people because they think, oh, this is going to be the thing that brings them through the door. But I believe that what people see when that happens, when they're just like constantly berating them with information about essential oils, they think, okay, well, this is weird. And in order for me to be successful doing this, I have to do the same thing and it's not comfortable and I don't want to do that. But if they would just be who they are and talk about the things that they love, whether it's oil related or not, people will come and stay around and they will build this trust with you. And as they see you be truthful and be honest about things that are difficult and things that are fun and things that are not so great to talk about and not so perfect, they start to build this trust with you where they believe the things that you're saying are the truth. And the more truth you give, the more connection they have with you. And then when you actually give them a call to action, you need this product and you need it right now, they will go and do it. And everyone has that. All you have to be is who you are and not the version of you that your leader thinks you need to be, not the version of you that you think the internet thinks you need to be, just who you are. The good, the bad, the ugly, the house is messy, the business is messy. It's all a mess, but we're all in this together and it's still growing. And this is what I'm meant to do. And if you can just lay those things on the line for people, they will respond to you. And it will be so much easier for them to not only try the product, but also give this business a go because they saw how easy it was for you to just do it, being who you are in your pajamas or wherever it is that you work. You know, I started working, my office was in my bedroom and I did almost all my videos with a kid in the background. That's just how it went. And because I was able to go first and show people, look, you can just do it this way and people will still listen. It was easier for people to say, all right, well, that's my life too. I like you, you like me, we are like, I'm in. Right.
Yeah. I remember when I first started teaching classes, that's kind of how I started. I didn't know anything about internet or I didn't have a podcast yet. And I just taught classes because I loved it. I love getting in front of people and just sharing how much I love these oils. And I had my big old pregnant belly. And then my friend would always come with me. She had her 2-month-old just on her lap the whole time, you know, and they were a mess and they were great. It's great.
That's what people connect to, right? The real, that's what we want. We're craving it so much because there's so much fake crap. Everywhere you look, it's all fake. I hate it.
I hear the like dust slamming passion in the background.
I hate it. So yes, I think that's the best. When you just be who you are, whether that's in person or online, but I think especially online, it's really tempting to put up this version of ourselves that looks perfect because we get to control what people see.
Absolutely. So Lindsay, something you said earlier really took me off guard. You said that when you first started, you had only about 300 Instagram followers. And so you know how we always make up stories in our minds of other people. Well, I made up this story in my mind about you forever, which is, oh, Lindsay probably ranked up so fast because she already had this huge following from like her photography blog or something like that. So I feel like now I'm just having to rewrite that story. But that is kind of a conception that can be out there is like, oh, you can only rank that fast if you already have the following. So what's your take on that? And also maybe what's some best advice for those who are just starting out, zero, zilch, little following? What should they focus on? How do you grow that tribe? Do you grow it around something else you're passionate about too? Or multi-passionate things all at the same time. Yeah.
Okay. So look, if you do have a following, you definitely have an advantage for sure. If you have people that follow you already and take your advice and you are an influencer, right? You influence the way that people think and how they buy. You definitely have an advantage to grow faster. I had a past where I did blogging for scrapbooking. So I do have part of my group came from this thing where we started out scrapbooking and kind of moved into photography. And those people have a history of growing a business. And so that definitely helped me, right? These people were already online and they were willing to grow a business. They were willing to be entrepreneurial, which is definitely helpful. You need to find that person. Those are the people that are going to be more easily will put themselves out there on social media. But you're right, my following is not huge because at the time, all I was talking about was growing babies. That's all I had in my life. I was not scrapbooking anymore. I was doing photography, but the problem was we were moving every single year. And so I would have to restart my photography business in every new city that we went to, which was extremely frustrating and hard to grow a circle. And so I did my best when I first started my business to be out there. It was just simply putting out the information and then giving people really good service when they reached out. Hey, here's my experience. Here's the link. go try it, making it as simple as possible for people. But I think what really, I didn't actually start growing my social media because I didn't use it as a tool correctly until about a year into my business, not realizing I was sitting on a gold mine. And at that time, I really started to focus in on talking about more than just my product. I talked about myself personally. I talked about my family. I talked about being a subpar mom, which I am. And that's just who I am. And I'm proud of it. I talked about wanting something more for my life, about my dreams for my business and what I wanted. I talked about photography. I talked about scrapbooking. I talked about my hobbies, which is like sports and watching sports on television. And all of those things combined made this situation where people wanted to follow to get more information about those things, right? Because they're kind of quirky and different.
Well, and they're you, you know, when they follow you, they love you. So they want to get that stuff.
Exactly. I like you, you like me, we're alike. And so that kind of started to build my following. And again, that didn't start until about 2014 when I started to build it. And then as I was really intentional about making sure I was giving people really good value for their time, meaning everything that I post, there's a WIFM, what's in it for me, for my customer, for my reader. So whatever I post, whether it's just like a quick, hey, this is what I'm doing today, there's got to be a reason, right? If we're just posting millions of pictures of our kids, that's all fine and great. And people will like them. Oh, your kid is so cute. But there's no whiff on there, right? They're not buying anything from you because there's no value for them other than they think your kid is cute. That's great. But there needs to be value there. Otherwise, what you get is some people will probably try what you're selling. So they'll try kits, but then you're going to have a really hard time getting them to that follow-up order because there's no personal connection there and they're not getting any value from you. So in 2014, I started really being intentional about making sure everything that I wrote, everything that I put out was of value to people, whether that be business value or personal value or, hey, look, I'm just coming alongside you as somebody that's like you and this sucks and this is just how it is. Like, having toddlers is really, really hard. So can we just like hold hands and drink wine together? That is builds a community. It builds this trust where they trust you to continue to do exactly what you've done because they want a piece of that lifestyle. And so really, it is about giving really good value about things that are more than just your product. Your product is not who you are. It's what you sell. It's what you do. And so that's not your whole life. You know, like people that go to a normal 9-to-5 job, they're not just constantly talking about all the great things they did at work today, because that's not a value for other people. And so I think it's really important for us to step out of this MLM bubble that I think we can so easily fall into where everyone around us is doing the same thing. And so it becomes our life. And that's all we talk about. And to outsiders, that's really annoying. So we need to always keep those people in mind. I always try to keep the people that have not tried the product in mind, because what I don't want is for my following to be a bunch of people that are already using the product. That doesn't help me sell it, right? That's why I tell people it's not really useful for you to have an oil Facebook account, because the people that are following that, they're already using the product. Instead, make a personal Facebook account and let people that are not using oils follow you and then fall backwards into actually using them. I think it's more beneficial. And so the value has to be there. That's my biggest takeaway for everybody that wants to use social media.
There's a huge takeaway. I hope everyone just rewinds a little bit and listens to that all again. So, so much great advice. And kind of one of my biggest takeaways, I mean, besides WIFM, which is genius, like love that. What's in it for me? Every post has value. And when people start talking about, you know, building a following on social media and how many people follow them, it, the criticism people give is, oh, that's so selfish. That's so egocentric. You know, social media is all about me, 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 me. But if you want to succeed, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. You should be serving other people with every post in some little way. What's in it for them, whether it just makes them feel better or it allows them to cheer alongside you or actually gives them tangible educational information. So many things that we can give to people.
And I think you're right. And I also think that that applies to the business end. So when you have people that are in your groups, the same thing applies. It's about them. Like you just, you know, as big as your team grows, that's how many bosses you now have, right? As you, when you are the leader, You are there to be their servant. To be a good leader, you need to be a servant leader. And that means that you listen and you do what you can for those people. And I'm telling you, in my first 3 years, my entire job was like professional fire putter outer. Like I was a fireman every day. And that's what I did. And I did it with a glad heart and I did it with a smile on as much as I could. And I did that because I know that those people are my boss. And if I want them to succeed, then I know that by proxy, I will succeed, right? The better they do, the better I do. And I know that my paycheck grows infinitely more when someone else below me does better than me. And that's right. What I want. And so as a mom would do for her kids, you need to do for the people that come after you and constantly be just bombarding them with value so that they can take what you have to teach them and then go out and use it. Give them, pack the punch, less words, more good information, and then let them go work. As a leader, it's so easy to fall into this thing where I'm important now. It's all about me because I've reached this rank. And instead, they lose the opportunity to actually continue to connect with their people and let them go out and work and actually use what you've learned to make themselves better, because that's how our paycheck grows. And that, in the end, that's the bottom line. Right? If you're in this as a business, the bottom line is you need to make some money. I'm not ashamed to say that this business better make money for me. Otherwise, I would find another one, right?
Right.
We have to make an income if we are running a business. And that's not a shameful thing, which I think a lot of people believe it is. I don't believe that. But if I want my income to grow, I have to grow other people.
Absolutely. Holy moly. I got to cut you off because my sponsors are going to kill me if we don't get a break in. So we're going to take a short break to thank our sponsors and then let's keep this conversation going. And we're back with Lindsay Teague Moreno. So Lindsay, let's talk about social media in detail a little bit more. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed with how many places they quote unquote should be. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. You know, in your opinion, what's the quote unquote right place to be on social media?
The right place to be is where your people are. So you need to figure out what your target market is. Talk about this in Getting Noticed too. Identifying who your target market is and who you're trying to serve. Who are you going to affect? And then figure out where those people are. For me, I'm looking at moms that with young kids between the ages of 30 and 40 who are busy. They got a lot of crap going on. They've got their hands in a billion pots. Their husbands are probably at work. They're middle class to upper middle class. And I need to serve those people. And for me, those people are on Instagram. Okay, moms are posting pictures of their kids. They're trying to escape a little bit what's going on in their life, which I totally understand and sympathize with. And so my people are on Facebook sometimes. I think I find less now than they were, which is surprising to me. I get way more interaction on my Instagram than I do on Facebook, but that's also where I put my time. And where you water the grass, it's going to grow. So I put my time into the place where I believe my people are the most, and that's Instagram. And then I always share everything that I do over to Facebook. And I did that on my personal Facebook page until I ran out of friend space. And then I moved it to an actual like page. And that's one tip I give to most people is you don't need a like page until you run out of friend space. Make it as personal as possible.
Okay. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Our personal Facebook pages are enough to do business. And it's what grew my business. And it's okay not to have a like page. It doesn't make you any less a leader. It doesn't make you any less important because like I said, most people that are going to go to an oil Facebook page are people that are already using the product. And if you're looking for new people, that's not the way to get it. So I just posted on Instagram and that's where I'm at, but you're going to need to figure out where your people are. That's why I don't do LinkedIn. It's why I don't really use Twitter. My people are just not there. It doesn't give me enough space to be able to say what I want. I have a blog on the side where I can write more. I have an email list now that I just started growing last year where I can write additional words. But for the most part, Instagram is the best place for me, but it may not be for everyone. So do your due diligence, find out where your people are, do your testing, find out what time is the best time for you to post. There's more information about that and Getting Noticed as well. But it's really about your target market. And it's not a size fit all.
Well, and I love what you said, like you got to decide where you want to water your grass. And so many people try to water, you know, the entire yard or the neighbor's yard and the yard down the street. You know, they try to be everywhere because they have this fear of missing out or doing it wrong. But, you know, you get to be intentional with your time. You get to be intentional about who you want to grow a tribe with, you know, and like you said, your people, you know who your people are, the people listening, your people don't have to be the same people as Lindsay's or mine. You know, you get to decide who exactly do I want to target. And there are so many freaking people in this world. You're going to be able to find them and become, you know, an influencer for those people if you can focus in.
Yep. I talk about that all the time. It's so important. You just nailed it.
So a quick question about community and like Facebook groups. So personally, like for our tribe of oil business builders, we have our Facebook group just for our business people. And I could not survive without that camaraderie. It's a great place for education. But I see this shift of people kind of getting off Facebook a little bit. Like, do you have a similar group or can you achieve that similar thing through Instagram? What's that look like for you?
Oh my gosh, I wish you could. Okay, so look, I have tried it all. Samantha, I am the girl that will just try anything. I'll like figure it out along the way. So I tried everything. I built a website thinking, all right, we'll direct people there and then everybody can get it, even people not on Facebook, right? Nobody came to it. Like you can't do it on Instagram because there's no groups there, right? I can do my Instagram lives where people get a piece of me and I can give great advice, but it's not a place where you can interact as a group. Facebook has that market covered. And the thing is that people are already there. So they don't want to go to a chat room that they have to put in a new URL in, which I know sounds like, oh, that wouldn't be hard to just put a URL in, but it's surprisingly difficult because it's not part of what we do on a daily basis. Like sometimes I open my computer up and I just type in FA, Facebook comes up, press enter without realizing what I'm doing. I have no desire to go to Facebook. I don't need to look at that right now, but because it's just part of my life, I do it so easily. And that's why you have to be where your people are. If your people are easily on Facebook, you have to be there because it makes it easier for them. And you have to meet them where it is that's going to make it easiest for them and not you, right? It's annoying. There's some dumb things that come up on Facebook. There's some user ability that we don't have on Facebook. It's kind of a mess. I don't love it. It starts to malfunction once you get to about 50 to 60,000 people in a group. It starts to kind of get wacky. But it's where the people are, and I haven't found a better solution. And so I will continue to be where they're at.
Well, it makes me think, I just finished listening to Seth Godin's Tribes, which is brilliant. Everyone should listen to it. And, you know, he talks about these sort of key ingredients for leadership. And that's, you know, having the leader and having people attracted to that leader and attracted to that message and that change. But then that second component is a way for all of those followers, all of those members of that tribe to communicate with one another. And so, yeah, thanks for answering that because I found no better way for our team to communicate with each other than through Facebook groups.
Yeah. You know, one thing I will add to that is when I first started and our Facebook group was smaller, it was so electric. I can't even explain to you what the energy that we had in this little, it was just like ready to, like a bomb, ready to explode. Everyone was excited. We all love what we did, right? And as we got bigger and bigger, it's harder and harder to contain that energy into one little like electric piece, right? It gets bigger and bigger, starts to get watered down. And eventually I found as it has trickled down the line, you have to pass the baton, right? Like I said, I'm always working myself out of a job. And so I eventually shut down my oil group. I eventually made my big Facebook group that's a business group read only, right? Where there was just it didn't have the impact, the positive impact that I wanted it to have on people to allow anyone to post at any time because it became like super negative at times. And I draw a line, a hard line at negativity. I'm not allowing it in my group. And as soon as I did that, it number one, allowed somebody else as a leader to step up and have a smaller group where that energy could be contained. And number two, it took responsibility off my plate so that I could future cast, so that I could move into new projects, so that I could come up with new ways to affect people and teach people. And that's part of the deal is also holding your business with an open hand and not so tightly gripping, I'm the leader here, that you don't allow other people to do it. And so hold it with an open hand and allow the changes to come. As we got so big, I had to, and I allowed myself to let go of the reins a little bit, and it's been good for my business and it's been good for other people.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for, as a leader, how do you encourage and help someone rise up into a leadership position themselves?
I honestly believe that the best way that you can learn to be a leader is to fail at it and do things wrong. mess up, and then learn from that mistake. And so you really have to give people a platform to do that. Not too early. I find a lot of people want to start their own, I'm going to start my own group. I'm a senior start, right? Like, I mean, okay, do you need that? Or is that like, I want something that I'm not right, I'm not there yet for, right? You have to wait for people to promote you to the position of leadership. You don't get to do that on your own. Someone has to actually follow you first. And I find that it's best to get people into small little communications through like PM or text messages or however you want to do it, where you can commune with a small group that starts to follow your lead. And then when it's right, make your own group and be that leader. But it's not enough for me just to say, hey, here is the formula to be a perfect leader. Step one, step two, step three. That's not going to work as well as them actually getting out there and screwing up, right? Because the best leaders are the people that mess up with people. And unfortunately, you mess up with people and it creates some people that don't like you. That's what happens. As a leader, I've messed up a ton, ruined a bunch of relationships through it. But I only know what I know now because I did that then. And I realized this is the effect of what I just did here. And so you say your sorries and you do what you can to repair it, but sometimes you're not going to be able to. And as a leader, you have to let that go. You have to let those people that are no longer following you or you're not serving them, right? And that's going to happen. Some people you're just not, they're not going to be served by you. They'll be served by a different leader, and let those people go. That's not about you, right? And do your best to let other people fall on their face and learn from that. And that makes the best leaders.
Yeah.
It's coming alongside them and saying, I get it. I'm sorry. You could have done this, right? Or if they come to you with, hey, what should I do? You give them your best advice and then you let them go like you would a kid. Hey, go try it and see what happens. And sometimes people are going to be mean and sometimes it doesn't work, but sometimes it does work and those people take off. Right.
Absolutely. Well, and so many people are so afraid of that fear of failure, and it's, you know, let's ruin the surprise for them. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes, you know,
and
that's how you learn. That's how you grow. And so you don't let that hold you back.
For sure.
Well, Lindsay, you talk a lot about being a dedicated entrepreneur who is not afraid to promote the hustle. So do you want to talk a little bit about how do you focus on your hustle while still, you know, being a part of a family that you love?
Okay. Look, at the beginning of my business, to be honest with you guys, like I said earlier, I was affected to move at the rate that I did by a really tragic event of my mom passing away before she had met her like goals and dreams, right? So my mom was the lady that was like, you know, someday we're going to go to Italy and we're going to do a wine tour. And someday we're going to go whitewater rafting down the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon because we're from Arizona. Someday this, someday that. And she died before any of her somedays came. And as a daughter, that feels horrible. I can't explain to you the disappointment that I have for my mother's life because we're the reason that she couldn't do all those things, right? We're kids. She had other things to do. She had to take care of us. She sacrificed so much to be able to give us what we needed in order to grow up to be responsible adults. And we took away her ability to do all the things that she wanted to do. And she never found that balance where she could actually put herself as equal to her kids as far as priorities are concerned. And I didn't want my kids to feel about me the way that I feel about my mom's life, right? So what I wanted was to be able to have the funds to say yes to anything that I wanted to. And that way, if at 53, my time is up like my mom's, then my kids will know I lived 100 years in those 50. And so I work hard and I play hard. And those first 3 years, I worked to the expense of literally everything. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that everyone should do this, but I had some motivation behind me that some loss that made me run as fast as I could. And was I the best mom? No, I wasn't. Did I neglect my kids sometimes? Yeah. My house was a disaster. My kids had to shocker play by themselves. There was just a lot, like they'd be like, mom, I need a snack. And I'd be like, yeah, 5 minutes. And then 30 minutes later, I'd be realized that I had just like completely ignored everything that they said.
This sounds so, like I'm just listening to my own story here. And it's like, yes, that's the truth. And I'm sure part of that helped with your coping a little too, just being able to pour into something, you know, for yourself.
It totally did. And eventually I got to that place where it came time where I could actually cut back, where we got to that place where I could say yes to literally anything. And I was like, all right, now I have to learn how to like be a friend again and be a parent and be a mother and be a wife. All the things that I had put to the side, like I just sat my butt in my chair from the time I woke up until 3 a.m. and I was happy to do it. I loved it, but it was a means to an end. And so at 3 years, on the day, I had to go start seeing a counselor to help me with my addiction to work, right? I was addicted to being in front of my computer, and I would bring my computer into my bed every night and work until I fell asleep, literally passed out with my computer on me, and then wake up and start again. So my advice then is to do what you can, sacrifice where you can, but intentionally put things down. And if there are some things that you can't intentionally put down, then you need to realize that your business is going to have to balance that, right? There's only so many hours in the day. So if you're giving 24 to your business, then everything else is to the wayside. And so at the beginning, decide, this is what I'm willing to put down and this is what I'm not. And balance your business in the in-between times of the things that you are not willing to put down. And it's okay to do that. Draw those boundaries and stick to them. Your marriage will be happier. Your family will be happier. And for me, I had to do that at 3 years. I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm done missing my kids' stuff. I'm done not knowing them. I'm done with all of the work hours. And it was really hard, but the right thing. I no longer bring my computer to my room even.
Wow. So many lessons in there that I hope people can really absorb. But personally, one of the reasons I was drawn to this business model, to Young Living as a business, I was very intentional from the beginning. I wanted to do this as a business because I saw what it was doing for people I knew personally. You know, my friend retired her husband because of this job. No, it wasn't easy. Yes, she had to sacrifice a lot to get there, but you know, look at the outcome. And, you know, I'd trade, you know, 3 to 4 really hard years of sacrifice to get that freedom for the rest of your life than living your entire life with sacrifice everywhere. Because when you're not financially stable, you have no freedom. You know, when you have no control over your work hours or your destiny, I mean, it's just a terrible feeling. So I'm not as successful as you. I don't have as big of a paycheck, I'm sure. But, you know, I worked really hard to get where I am now. And just yesterday, my husband put in his notice to his boss. He's coming home. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty amazing. That's the saying goes, live like no one else so you can live like no one else, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Do what you got to do so to get to what you want. And success is relative. If you're getting what you want, you are just as successful as I am. The paycheck is irrelevant because we all have a different idea of what success means to us. So that's comparison talking. And I'd say if you're getting what you want, your husband's coming home and you're excited about it, you have everything that I've got.
Absolutely. It's all about priorities, you know, and people are going to have priorities in their lives that are really important, non-negotiables for them. But I encourage everyone listening, really think about what is at the top of your priority list, you know. And if you want financial freedom to be one of those top things, you're going to have to put those priorities in order and really figure out what's going to get your time, most of your time and energy. Well, Lindsay, this has been an absolute blast for you. I know that you've got a lot of projects coming down the pipeline, so just take as much time as you want. I'd love to hear, you know, what's next for Lindsay Teague Moreno.
Okay. I do have a ton coming up right now. It's so nuts. This is the craziest time of year. I'm really excited about it. So the first thing that I've got coming up is I signed a book deal with a division of HarperCollins called W. It's an all women's team, which, you know, it's just right, super on brand.
Yeah, feels good.
I signed with W for a 2-book deal. The first one I'm working on right now. It'll come out in the fall of 2019, and then I'll have another one come 2021. I'm really excited about them. If you own a business of any kind, this is going to be the book for you, and it's going to be a great one to pass on to people that think, like, I've got this thing that I just can't stop thinking about, but I don't know how to get it on paper. I don't know how to take the first step. This is going to take care of that. I'm really pumped about it. I'm doing a lot of public speaking, which I love. It's really the entire vision that I have for my business is that eventually I do a bunch of speaking. I didn't expect to love it as much as I do. And it's where I'm meant to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. So I will do that.
Well, you're very, you have a message you're very passionate about. And so to get to share that, you know, and actually see the reaction in people's eyes when they receive that message is so special.
It's super fun. I love it. And then I've got retail shop that's opening up on my website, lindsaytm.com, coming up for entrepreneurs will have fun stuff for your office and like little cute things that you can wear and put around, and then motivational stuff and stuff to help you be more successful or be more intentional with your time. And I've actually got a stock shop coming for entrepreneurs to help you be more consistent on social media with really good images, because it matters. And I've got a quarterly box coming as well, which will be really fun, a fun little quarterly box where you can subscribe and a box will show up every quarter with different things for your office. And it's a curated box, so it's by other small businesses working to get their business off the ground and give them exposure. I'm really pumped about it.
That sounds awesome, Lindsay. Where can people follow you, get news about as these things progress? How do they reach you?
So my website is lindsaytm.com for Lindsay Teague Moreno. And I'm on Instagram at Lindsay Teague. And on Facebook, my Facebook page is at LTM Author. And you can just Google. If you can't find me, then you haven't Googled yet. Yeah. So just Google up my name and I'm around. And I'm just so excited to connect. If you guys have questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. My email is hello@lindsaytm.com. I try my best to answer every email that comes through to me. So email me if you guys have questions, whatever you guys need. I'm here to be in your corner and cheer you on.
Well, there you have it, folks. I hope you're all feeling super inspired and pumped and ready to go. I know I certainly do. If you're looking for any of the links or resources we mentioned today in the episode, simply look in the show notes below or check out our show notes page at revolutionoilspodcast.com. If you'd like to check out our other podcast, the Revolution Oils Business Coaching Podcast, you can always find that on our website, along with our free 30-day business bootcamp. This is a free 30-day guide for helping you start and grow your very own essential oil business. And it's available for free as a podcast. Just search Revolution Oils Bootcamp. Again, if you have 2 minutes and would be so kind, I'd love it if you could rate and review this podcast on whatever app you're listening on. As always, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.